Okay. I call to order this meeting of the Cobley Library on Wednesday, March 26th, 2025 at 5:35, I think. I'm Jess Simpson, president of the board.
I'm Caitlin Wood, guest today.
Mary Thomas. I've only been on the board for a year, so I'm probably the newest one around this table, I think.
You're the baby.
Sylvia Dodge, I'm see. I've been on, I think, 3 years? 3 years?
Yeah, at least. I'm Hillary Adams, and this is my last night as a trustee after a long time. It seems like 5 or 6 years. Nice. I came in on somebody else's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Paula Pierce, treasurer.
And Bryn Hoffman, library director.
Are there any adjustments to our agenda tonight?
Yes. I would like to add an item for the end, which is I wanted to mention briefly the VLA letter to the Scott administration.
Okay. I read that today. Okay. So... minutes. Did everyone get a chance to read the minutes from Mary?
I just did.
Okay.
Yep.
Are there any adjustments to the minutes or discussion? Okay. Is there a motion to accept the minutes?
Go ahead.
I'm motion to accept the minutes.
I'll second it.
All right. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Treasurer's report.
Okay, so I did an endowment check. It's kind of interesting, the 3rd of March. And then I also did an endowment check today. And because I heard that things are not going well in the market world, and we dropped $15,000 in 3 weeks.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes. So that's how the markets can
fluctuate.
Fluctuate. Yep. So, but you know, we just ride the wave. That's all Hopefully. We do. You know, they're where they are at. They're still better than they were a year ago at this time. So, you know, it's still doing okay. We have 654,000, a little over that, in our endowment, which is, in for me, is still a really good number, because when I started, we were at 600 without the Edie Bell Brown money, so we're still gaining back, and you know, we'll just see how things go with the market. So that's that piece. I met with Bryn today, and I met with Michelle Newland over at the town to go over where exactly our budget is, because there has been a lot of emails going back and forth with Don and the select board and Bryn and myself, just trying to figure out where we are. So at the end of 2024, we ended the year with, I'm just going to round it up to $10,000. It was like $9,900 and some odd that we were in the deficit. So then I also found out today that, because as of today, only 3 months in, we've paid in $20,000 into health insurance. And I'm like, well, how can that be? That's 3 months. That's way too much. So we looked back in the bills, and December's bill was paid January 1st of $5,000. So really, we were $15,000 in the hole at the end of 2024. And that is a better scenario than it would have been if the town didn't pay $15,000 towards the elevator. So we would have been 30. with all that said, I think we're going to talk about ways to fix that later in the meeting. But that's kind of where we are. So we have a plan that we'll present when Bryn talks.
Okay. And then something that is that also has to get done now as part of the treasurer's report, because you've been doing this anyway. But I will hand around, these are the monthly order sheets. So these come from the town. This is the thing that you remember from before, from the books. So basically what's been happening is Paula had been signing them, so everything's all good, but we should really be bringing this back in as part of the regular meeting so that everybody gets a chance to have a look at them. So what I'll do is just pass these around. Basically, like, you have to sign them.
So that hasn't been happening.
Yes.
So because there's been, you know, there was, when Lori was there, it happened regularly, but then Lori retired and they hired Kelly, and Kelly was only there for a short amount of time and then took a leave and came back for a little bit and then was gone. And so now, and Dawn was doing everything. Lori came back a little bit. So the bottom line is I have not been signing these. Mm-hmm. So I can email Michelle to let her know that I need to be seeing them. But the thing that I want to see is I want to see the sheet that has everything on it.
Oh, the accounts payable?
Like, so
this one? Or
nope. So it looks like this, only Michelle has filled in the things at the bottom that are coming out of our budget that we don't know about.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we need to
know. Yeah, that's what we need to know. So
wow. Can you give an example?
So for example,
health insurance, right?
No, the health insurance is
on there. We see that on there.
Okay.
It's town expenses. It's things like when they order checks for us or...
Yep. It's things like postage. When the Blue Cross Blue Shield payments get mailed in, some months the town pays for that postage, some months the library pays for that postage because it's all grouped together. So there's a lot of cap accounts where we are tied to the town. And so the bill comes in as one big bill. Dawn splits it up into the entities, and then she cuts a check from the Colby Library to the town so that then the town can pay it.
Bill.
I mean, it's kind of archaic. It's really archaic. Like, in my mind, I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. There's got to be a more advanced way to do this. But I'm not getting into all that. So there are things, and there was I think it had to do with retirement. So do you have the retirement numbers on your pay, like on when people get paid, like how much is taken out for retirement or how much? So I think there's a retirement piece that we pay, but we don't have those numbers.
And we need to see them.
Right. Yeah. And so there's like all these little things. So at the end of each month, there's things written at the bottom
that we've never seen.
That we don't know about. And Michelle has only been there, I think this is her fourth month. So she is still learning everything. She's like, there's just so much. It's kind of crazy.
But yeah, so I will, these are things though that I do need to get to her. So I'll hand these around for folks to like take a look over.
Yep.
Okay.
Sign a dime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other treasurer's report things, Paula?
No, I think that's good.
Okay.
It was a lot to take in on one day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Librarian's report.
Yes. So start off the light stuff. So on February 25th, we had the first Cobbly potluck. It was great. Patrons were encouraged to take recipe cards that were chosen from one of the cookbooks in our collection. It was a great success. We had a full spread and almost a dozen people who were in attendance, so that was wonderful. We've had some other recent additions to our programming lineup. We added the Lego Club, Thursday Night Scrabble, and JJ Vasco's Wednesday Afternoon Origami Club. They've all been consistent weekly draws for the library. We're also introducing a new ASL class this summer, which is something that's been regularly requested by patrons. So some not so great news. So we have unexpectedly found ourselves down a member of staff as of March 17th. Sue Mold is on indefinite leave while she deals with some medical issues. At this time, she's got paid leave through the middle of the second week of April. I've been in contact with her, and I'll be reaching out again closer to when her vacation paid leave time runs out to find out whether or not we need to hire a replacement. In the meantime, obviously, she's been in our thoughts. We're all really hopeful that she'll get the treatment that she needs. So also on Friday, March 14th, as you may or may not have heard, there was an executive order signed targeting the Institute for Museum and Library Services, or IMLS, for closure. The IMLS contributes funding to libraries and museums across the country. It makes up about 30% of the State Department of Libraries' annual budget, and we obviously draw a lot of grants from them. Both the Vermont Library Association and the American Library Association are both opposed to the executive order. The ACLU is also calling on library and museum leaders to reach out to local elected officials to voice their opposition. I have the intention of signing a letter of support signing on in support of a letter that is directed at Governor Scott and the Vermont legislature, which I'll talk about more at the end of the meeting. So at this time, the only regular funding that the Cobbly receives from the IMLS comes in the form of our annual LSTA grant. That's Library Services and Technologies Act grant. We get about $600 to offset the cost of postage for our interlibrary loan courier system. That said, it's unclear what effect this is going to have on services in the state going forward, what funding it might be in jeopardy. There's still that $10 million in capital grants that hasn't been opened up yet. And basically, we're finding out about stuff as the Department of Libraries is finding out about it. So every couple of days, there's a new email with updates. But right now, they're really just trying to assess. So I will keep you all posted about that until the end of my tenure. But just so you're aware. And then finally, on Monday, the 24th.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The amount that you said we generally receive from
600? It's about $600.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not a ton, but considering our postage budget is about, you know, 2,000 or whatever, you know, that really, it does a lot to help offset the cost. So we'd like to keep that money. So yeah, finally, on Monday, this past Monday, the 24th, I received Evan's resignation letter. We've known that this was coming. His girlfriend is pursuing grad school in Oregon in the fall, and he's following her. But his friendly presence will certainly be missed by the Cobbly patrons. His last day is going to be May 3rd. Sorry, 2nd. So, yeah. Lots of switches.
Wow.
Lots of change-ups.
So Sue is...
She's on leave.
Leave already.
Yes. Yeah, she has been for the past 2 weeks.
And when, like, what hours, like, how many hours a week...
Sue's here 11 hours a week.
Okay.
So she's our evening and Saturdays librarian. So basically what's been happening is everybody else has been stepping in, and because we've got 4 full-time folks here, we've been able to cover it pretty well. Everybody,
yeah.
You know, obviously Sue is much loved. Everyone's very understanding.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I'll just check in with her as she gets closer to the leave, to the end of leave point, to find out, you know, where she's at with everything, but
right.
Yeah.
So she's worked here a long time.
Yep, it is unclear if she is more than 30 or less than 30 years, because Cheryl can't remember if she was here when she started or if she joined shortly after.
Right.
She was here when I came, and I was teaching at the town at Burke Town School.
Yeah.
So that was in 99. So I know she's been here at least that long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Evan, how many, what is his position?
Evan's full-time. He's got full benefits. So he's here 40 hours a week. And then obviously Cheryl is going to be retiring when... No one knows.
Still hasn't announced it. Is Evan's position officially the outreach librarian, just to clarify, or he's not?
Circulation desk librarian.
Circulation desk, okay.
Yeah.
We should know this, but...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Cheryl is full-time?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Any other,
this is a big meeting to
sit
on.
Yeah. Any other librarians report? Okay. Friends report?
Nothing much going in the world of the Friends right now. The Friends president has stepped down. She's, I think she's dealing with some health stuff also.
Okay.
So right now, we're preparing, the next meeting is next week, next Tuesday, and they're getting stuff ready for the plant sale in May. I believe MJ Miller's taking the lead on that, so it's still, you know, full steam ahead. And that one's a pretty, it's a pretty good Friends fundraiser, and I'll definitely be helping out with it. It should be a good time, but no report other than that from the Friends.
Okay. So on to old business. So we have the elevator update.
Yes. I'll make that brief. The elevator works.
There was no smoke when I came here.
So I have reached out to a couple, the 31st end of our contract with Otis, Vaya con Dios. After that, we will have to find a new company to contract with for repairs, etc. I reached out to two elevator companies that both operate out of Vermont, Mac Brothers Elevator and Alpha Elevator. From Alpha, I returned a quote I basically, because ours gets such heavy use and because of its age, I'm recommending that we go with the max like 4 visits a year for service and everything, like the kind of full package that they offer, which includes Cat 5 testing, which is something that we are going to need to have done for this elevator. It's a very strenuous weight test, basically, that they do. It's just to recalibrate it. So they came in at $2,800 a year for the service to be paid in quarterly installments, and $275 an hour for maintenance repairs work outside of whatever the threshold is that they set. Mac Brothers came in a little bit lower at $2,095 a year, but they do not include or offer Cat 5 testing, and their billable hour, they bill at $400 an hour for service and repair work. So based on that and on the amount of work we've had to do on this in the past, also the fact that Alpha does contract with a lot of folks in this area, I had contacted them before about repairs. Mm-hmm. They came in at a third of the price for the repair work that we ended up having done last year.
Do you know what our yearly contract was with Otis?
Yeah, let's see. So our yearly contract with Otis was, I want to say, it's a little over $1,800 that we were paying. And that was also for like quarterly service visits. But then their rate for everything, they didn't cover, because ours was such an old contract,
mm-hmm.
most of the service and maintenance, they were basically just doing like an oil and grease as opposed to a full servicing of the elevator.
So there was repairs because they didn't do regular maintenance.
So with Alpha, is it an annual contract? Because it sounds like with Otis, it was like a longer contract that we were
it was.
Into.
With Otis, yeah. So basically what happened with Otis was my predecessor had signed a 3-year contract with them, or with Bay State Elevator, which then got bought by Otis.
Mm.
And there was language in the contract that basically said that it continues until such time as, like, until you notify them within 90 days of the end of contract. But because it was being re-upped every 3 years, that meant that there was like a window every 3 years that you could cancel.
Wow.
In.
So, otherwise they just renew it.
Yeah, that's basically what happened to me. Because the first time I realized that we should work with somebody else, we were mid-contract and I couldn't get out of it. So I had to wait.
Mm.
But then I did, mm-hmm. and I just barely made that. I technically didn't make the cutoff, but bless our rep at Otis knew how long suffering I was and made an exception, so we were able to get out.
So is this a 1-year contract?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So could you name the three contractors, if you want me to put those in the minutes again, the names?
Oh,
or does it matter?
I don't think it matters. That's just information that I'm giving
just
y'all.
If we make a decision on it, we do.
So I'm inclined to say that we should contract with Alpha. I think they offer more robust service, and then I think that they are responsive. They also in email they happen a lot more responsive than the other company, which is a little bit closer to us, but has a little more of a startup-y kind of feel, whereas Alpha has been in it for a long time. They work with a lot of other businesses larger than us in this area. I think that they, I think that's who we should work with. So that's the update on the elevator.
So would the contract begin April 1 or from the time of signing or just when the other one ends automatically?
Yeah. I would set it up to begin it in April.
Go ahead.
Gonna say that's like
soon.
It's next week.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
This March 31st is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So would we have this in our budget for that yearly payment?
So not in the building budget technically.
Our yearly payment.
I'm rifling around in here like I can find it.
No.
Yeah. So I don't think we would have the full amount in there,
but they do quarterly.
Yeah. Okay. So we're not, it's not like we're paying $2,800 up front and we're already through the first quarter. So yeah, I think we can squeak by.
So we were already paying $1,800. So we were paying $1,000 less. So we kind of have to come up with that thousand
mm-hmm.
somewhere in our building budget.
Yeah.
But the amount that we ended up having to pay, hopefully we won't have that happen again.
Yes.
Okay.
Do
is that something we should vote on?
Isn't technically because it's under $5,000.
Okay.
So it's not something, I'm just giving you guys the update about this is
going
to be the new elevator news.
It sounds reasonable.
So I think you all on Tuesday should have a party and say, it's been like terrible.
Yeah.
The one in Colebrook was always just malfunctioning,
This is tough.
Yeah.
Okay. So bylaws for endowment?
Yes. So per our last meeting, I did find the bylaws, and I mentioned before, I will mention again, I'm going to put all of this stuff in a Google Drive so that it's accessible to everybody on the board. I can pass it around for you to take a look at it, but basically what happened in our last meeting was Joe was talking about restrictions on certain funds and, suggesting that those were somewhere in the bylaws. So I had a look through and I found the restrictions that he's talking about, and lots of other great information about how stuff was set up. But basically, this is the document that determines what we can and can't do with things. It's a living document. It can be amended or changed at any time. There aren't any issues with pulling money out of it or moving things around or whatever. So I'll pass that around if everyone wants to take a look. But
I know I've read it before, but I couldn't bring it up and recall it. Yes. So thank you.
Yeah, just wanted to be able to close the loop on that mm-hmm. one and say it got done.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you're going to write it up or... And then where is it going to go? So that
I'm going to put it in a Google Drive.
In a Google Drive.
So okay. I'll put all of the, you know, foundational policy documents, all in one central location.
Right.
They're in documents somewhere, though, on the library website, aren't they? Or are they not?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't believe they might be buried in there somewhere. I haven't found a the website is its own kettle of fish because there's plenty of pages in there that are not like publicly viewable or things that are dead links because of the way that it got set up, and there's a mess of The joke is always that like librarians can't organize their own things, and there's a mess of documents on the computer that's been part of what I've been digging and searching through to find stuff.
That was there when you came.
Yeah, so that's why I'm trying to. I've been living in that filth, and I'm cleaning it up now for my successor, so that it'll all be clean and in a nice location.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So should we move on to new businesses that goes around?
I'll just say we're going to go into executive session.
Right.
So I'm going to pause the recording.
All
right. We need a motion
to go into executive session.
Okay. I second it.
All right. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Approved.
Okay. Now we're going into executive session. All right. We're coming out of executive session. It's 6:56 p.m.
Okay, so the next business is the 2025 budget update.
Yes. So that is the, we're 15,000 in the hole, as was said. I want to propose that is money that we pull from the endowment as a one-time, infusion of funds that would make it so that the town doesn't have to accept delayed reimbursement on bills. It would put in a cushion there. It's something we can mark in next year's budget. This is where this funding came from. But it would be a show of good faith to the town. It would help to rectify the losses from last year. And then just set us in a better position going through the summer months.
Not only that, but with the less... Yeah. Because new people are coming on, we'll have that grace period of not putting it out, so we could. I approve. I like that idea.
Yeah. The catch on that though is that I'm also going to do a spending freeze, basically. So Paula and I discussed this. So I will put a hold on spending that is not for things that are either grant related or the regular. Day-to-day business things. If something else does come up, I will reach out to the board for approval if there's something that is a program or something different. Basically I'll keep sending the bills as I have been doing, but we'll have a freeze until such time as things start to level out a bit more.
I think that's a great idea. Both of those parts.
But if somebody wants to make a motion about the pulling down the funds.
I motion to pull down $15,000 out of the investment excess that we had this year, which is less. No.
Which fund would it be?
We would want to pull that out of co-fund.
Okay.
So that is the biggest fund.
So that should be included in the motion, Mary.
Mm-hmm. I motion to pull the $15,000 to level the 2024 budget from the Copeland fund.
Yes.
Is there a second? I second it. I haven't made any motions today. Any discussion about that? Is this sustainable? Is this a one-time thing that is not really likely to happen again? I guess that's my concern.
Correct.
The lesson that was learned by me is that our budget The two, so like the two biggest items for income on our budget, other than the town for this year, were the appropriations from other towns and the annual appeal letter. Both of those things happen at the end of the year. Most towns don't send their appropriations until they've received property taxes in November, the first of the 2025 taxes. And the appeal letter goes out again around like Giving Tuesday. I now understand that the reason that that's weighted that way is to help us get through the start of the year, that is supposed to provide the cushion until, you know, April, which is when our appropriation gets upped by the town.
Right.
What happened last year was that money, when we brought it in because the appeal letter went out great, we got money from the, the towns, all of that went to holding off or paying down stuff from 2024 instead of setting us up for 2025.
Oh, okay.
So pulling this $15,000 now would set us at a level place. We're about to head into a period where our spending is gonna be down, so that'll allow us to build up our coffers a bit more. And that means that by next fall, when we start getting those bigger items, that those are not going to be paying bills in arrears, but setting us up better.
Yes.
So it's just gonna help to level everything out.
And I will be keeping a good track of what our budget ends with at the end of 2025 and making sure that money goes to our cash. Like, so.
Cash on hand.
So like, when you have that situation of paying a bill in January, that you would have the money in hand to pay that bill in the year that it belongs.
Yes.
Okay, I like that.
Yes.
All right, thanks for clarifying. So that motion is on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that passes.
I'm going to pass this around while I talk. Everything below there is the text.
I read this.
Okay, great.
Do we need to pass a motion on the budget freeze? On the spending freeze?
No.
Okay.
It's just a decision.
And I won't put that in the minutes?
No.
We don't need to.
So director offboarding. So my last day is going to be April 30th. That is a Wednesday, which is a little bit odd, but my sister's due on Saturday. So I want to have the time to get down to North Carolina.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm setting it in there. That obviously would leave us, if we're offering the position the way that we're intending to, that would give us about a month and a half.
So is she done mid-June?
Yeah. So that would be about a month and a half, sans director. I can't be around for all of May. I have other things going on, and I will be traveling. But what I can do is I can continue to run the admin, make sure that the bills get paid, payroll gets handled, deal with emails, all of that stuff assorted with running the place, other than kind of being here all the time. I can continue doing that work on a per diem basis. So that is, if I'm in here doing work, I'd count those as like billable hours.
Yeah.
What I would like, and this is well within your rights to, again, given everything that we're going through, well within your rights to deny it, I would like for the library to continue to carry my health insurance for the month of May, while I'm still doing per diem and part-time work here. There's no obligation for the library to do that because I would no longer be a full-time employee. I'm asking more as a courtesy for you all to consider, if that's something that you would be comfortable with. Regardless, I will continue to kind of pop in and, do this sort of like per diem work to keep everything running, and also cover the occasional shift. But I've spoken with the staff because they all know that I'm going to be out for May. Garrett's here. Cheryl's committed to staying through the transition to a new director. So that's what that is.
Would you be available for any training for Caitlin? Because she had mentioned that she would be willing to come in earlier.
Yes.
In June?
Before.
Or you're not going to be here in May.
She's going to be here
I'll be here intermittently. Basically, I have no intention of leaving the library high and dry, and just being like, all right, well, here you go, Cheryl, you can take care of this stuff. Like, I will continue to do that stuff. I just cannot commit to being here 40 hours a week.
And when will the replacement for Evan start?
So that I want to have I would like to be offering the position to someone shortly, to get a tiny bit of overlap, in there, just so that the, old dog can teach the new puppy, basically. But I'm going to try to get somebody like as soon as I can without like too much overlap or anything. But that's dependent on.
So what do you think from an hourly point of view, what kind of time does it take to run the library administratively, albeit remotely? Do you have any estimate of that? Would it be 10 hours a week, 15 hours a week, 20 hours a week?
I mean, if I was doing it remotely, I mean, probably like 5 maybe. Depending on what happens, right? Like, if everything is kind of pleasant and quiet and stuff is just kind of running like it normally is, then really all I have to do is submit bills, monitor emails, maybe it's an hour or two or something like that. But if something crops up, if there's an elevator problem or there's a patron issue or there's something else, like, I would also be available to help out with those things. So that's essentially what that would look like.
Would you be here at all in the month of May that you could do some trainings for?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I could make myself available. And when I talk about like billable like hours or whatever, that I'm only going to count that as time that I spend actually in here. If I'm just like at home and answering an email or something like that, that's nothing. Like, that stuff doesn't bother me. It's just the having to come in.
So in this, I'm just trying to be clear because I'm not going to be here, but I'll be in and out of the library. So would you offer Amanda that job?
Yeah, I think that's what Bryn was
going to do. Okay, and then get her on board, and if she'll come
before Bryn is done.
Right.
Before the end of April.
So before Caitlin's, because that way we would have a front desk circulation person ready to go.
That's what I want. I would like there to be at least three people full time from the start of May on. So that's why I want to try to hire for the front desk ASAP, so that then when Evan and I leave within a couple days of each other, there's another person here who's already basically familiar with things.
That's important.
And who can continue.
If she takes the job.
Yeah.
She's so bubbly.
I hope she takes the job.
So the Amanda person, is she the wife of the football coach, or is that
different people?
And is that person currently employed and may have to give 2 or 3 weeks notice before she could?
She said she wanted to give 2 weeks notice. That's what
she
said.
2 weeks notice. Okay. So I understand the rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and we haven't discussed
maybe
that salary.
She could be here April 15th. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, probably not that soon, because we wouldn't have to worry about that much overlap. But we'll test the waters and see. Basically, all of this right now. There are a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
And I've found that if I start casting my eye too far into the future, I can start to get like, oh no, well, how do I manage? But what I know, I'm here, everybody's here right now, we're all good. We've got some good candidates for the front desk librarian position. First step is going to be offering up this director position, then we'll figure out the front desk stuff, just kind of taking it little bit by little bit.
Okay.
But so far, the staff are on board, we're getting through it. The town has been apprised, we're getting through it. The money's there to even out the accounts. Everything is just kind of
one step at a time.
It's a lot of moving parts, but taking it one step at a time, we're all getting through it. And again, I'm not gonna. This is not a ball that's gonna get dropped. Like, there's not gonna be a time when this place is, you know. I made this solemn promise to Cheryl when I started working here that I would never make her have to take on directorial responsibilities, and I will stay good to that.
Because it's happened.
Yes,
yeah, no.
Exactly. And
yeah.
happened,
and
she never wanted to do it again. She never wants to do it again.
Yeah. And that was really hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was tough.
Is there any action? What action do we need to take for this? Do we need to vote on any of this?
So, no. What'll happen is I will talk to the town, and they will probably want something in writing from the board stating, like, if you all want to extend my health insurance for an extra month.
Do we need to vote on that?
We should, I think. Shouldn't we? And then it's done.
Sure.
Yeah. And that would be this $1,273 that we talked about before.
The trustees have voted, it goes to the town.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think we should just vote on it to have it in the record.
Yeah.
So, since it's money, and although it would already be there.
Yeah.
So.
So, it's something about Bryn's.
So, it would.
Willing to continue to.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to vote on it because it's already there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll send an email because I think the town will want something in writing.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'll find out what the town needs as far as anything from you all, and then I'll let you all know.
So if you formally, do you have to formally declare your end date? Because, I mean,
yes.
She did. You do.
Yep.
So, okay. So then after that date, it's something ancillary to it.
Yes.
So... Right. Yeah. I'm just trying to think if there's anything, like, if there's any reason why that can't happen.
Because you're still working. You're just working less.
Yeah.
Right.
Per diem.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
She's going from full time as a lecturer.
So do we need to make that official, that per diem? Or that...
I think we do, because if you're making if you have an official end date, but we're still going to employ you after that date, we have to approve that extended, different.
What is your official end date?
April 30th.
Okay, so we probably should vote on that then.
So
just
we're
not
going
exactly
to make a
sure.
motion.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I can do that might make this whole thing easier is because
we don't know what we need to make a motion.
Yes,
yeah. True.
And
we can do it by email.
I can write up the whole of the what this would look like as an offboarding package, so like what the per diem rate would be, which is just the same rate of pay that I have currently, and the value of the health insurance for a month, and then I can send that to you all, and then either you can vote via email, and if it's unanimous, then it's fine, or it can happen at the next meeting, which will be my last board meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that way you have the actual numbers and everything in front of you.
You'd
I apologize.
Like to know for sure before that, though, wouldn't you? I mean, we'll be meeting at the end of April, and then you're done on April 30th. And
well, I think we want to offer you health insurance.
We're
not sure how we need to vote.
And I'm realizing now that I'm like, oh, I probably should have presented you like this is an offboarding package kind of situation, but
it's
now
okay.
I know, and so that's just I'll. Write that up and I'll send it to you all, and then you can take a look at it.
Okay,
yes.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to talk at all about the VLA letter?
Yeah, just very basically. So this is the if you all had a chance to take a peek at it, that's the letter addressed to Governor Scott and the Vermont State Legislators. The Vermont Library Association has signed on to it. I'm just kind of giving you all the heads up that I will be signing on to it as well as the director of the library. So that's not something you have to take any action on or anything else, but I wanted to do you the professional courtesy of letting you know.
Is it just library directors, or can your staff sign it as well?
Basically anyone who, what they were looking for is like institutions at large,
mm-hmm.
Or writ large. So like I would be signing on as the director on behalf of the library. So if somebody else had wanted to sign on as a trustee on behalf of the library, they would be welcome to. But I think they're also, it is an open letter. And other people representing other institutions mm-hmm. are also signing on as well as individuals who are just like employed in certain fields. It's really just a statement of solidarity mm-hmm. And making sure that our legislators know that this is something that does have a really big effect here and mm-hmm. something that we really want to see them stand up and fight for, is the continuation of the IMLS. So,
yeah. Okay.
But yeah, that was basically, I just wanted to do due diligence and let you all know so that no one was like, wait a minute, what is this?
Tell me what IMLS stands for again. Obviously, Library Services.
Oh, it's the Institute of Museum and Library Services.
Yes.
I'll give you that in case you want it.
Thank you.
For writing stuff up. Yeah.
Is there any other business?
This is like the most business I think we've done.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had an interview.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a question.
Yes.
The only question is, and it really doesn't affect me at all. As soon as we adjourned, but okay. So we're trying to fill those two positions, and then you will try to find somebody for Cheryl's after.
We just don't know when Cheryl's retiring.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not being thought about right now, really.
No, nobody's.
Excellent.
Other than herself.
I'm just pretending that she's going to be there forever.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? I actually have something post-adjournment, so okay.
Sure.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make it.
Okay. Is there
second?
Paula, second? All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
And our next meeting is... Yeah. Oh, so it is...
April...
7:20.
What is that, the 23rd?
I'm going to put another plug in, even though we're adjourning...